Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends come together in order to dive into a world after being poisoned by some crazy criminal from the first season of the show. As always,
Second.
Well, no, because the Laughing Coffin was from the first season.
Right, but Death Gun wasn't until second season.
Right, but they were all part of Laughing Coffin.
Right, but Death Gun was the one that was poisoning
we're
people.
We're already derailed.
All right, anyways, I'm the Dragon Tamer, Zach, and joined with me is the Blacksmith Extraordinaire.
Zach.
And the one with the sword and lightsaber and the game-breaking meta.
Steven. I was going to say, like...
Lots of things.
All right, so a lot of people... Okay, Kirito and Asuna. Okay, Kirito.
Yes.
Anyways, we just got done. Well, the two of you just got done watching Sword Art. I was playing Octopath as a brief break. I just got back into it. Yay. I kind of miss it. I think I need extended breaks from that game in order to enjoy it.
It's good in chunks.
Yeah.
And then you get bored of like, oh, yes.
Mash, oh, yes. JRPG
Smash.
Grind.
Oh,
the
look,
best part.
I one-shot everything again with my sorcerer.
Yeah. I just turned everyone into a magic user.
I turned, not Ophelia, Primrose into a sorcerer, and she literally just started one-shotting everything.
Yeah.
It's triple damage.
Well, I just got done leveling Cyrus up in the traitor job, so now he has his normal magic abilities, plus he gets 10 SP back, plus all of his magic is reduced by half because he has that traitor ability. So
right.
I only lose like 1 SP around now.
Jeez.
I know
that's
how to
insane.
Break games.
You know your JRPG mechanics, that's for sure.
Yep. Still going through those chapter 2 quests. It's great. Anyways, we're on the eve of the final day of New York Comic Con. I think all the big news got announced already. Yeah. And we'll talk about some of those things, and we're also going to talk about some video game stuff, and yeah. So, first order of business, Telltale's continuing saga of being sad.
Yeah,
of shutdown.
This whole, oh God, the whole Telltale story is, like, ridiculous. So, it started off this week with the remaining skeleton employees on Twitter saying, hey, remember how Telltale said there was going to be a skeleton crew to finish the final season of Walking Dead? Yeah, all the rest of us just got laid off.
No, they didn't even finish Walking Dead. They were finishing up Minecraft for Netflix.
Yeah, because that was the contractual obligation they were...
Yep.
Right, but I thought they said that they were going to finish
no.
it.
No, they said they wanted to, but they were just going to put out episode 2, and that was going to be it for them.
Mm. And
to the point where they even removed it from the Xbox store because... After Chapter 2, they were done, and they didn't want anyone
right,
buying
but,
the full season just to get the 2 episodes.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, the rest of the skeleton crew got laid off.
Yeah, so this comes from ex-Telltale Rachel Noel. Hey, remember how there was going to be a skeleton crew staying on for a while, and I was a part of it? Nah, just JK, we all just got laid off. So the skeleton crew is officially gone, and Telltale's management claimed that they were hoping to finish The Walking Dead. Seems increasingly unlikely until Robert Kirkman steps up to bat.
Yeah, so this is actually coming from Greg Miller's Twitter account. He was at New York Comic Con, and it sounds like he got to talk with Robert Kirkman very briefly. And he says, hi there. At New York Comic Con, Robert Kirkman confirmed that Skybound has taken over the ownership of Telltale's The Walking Dead the final season and will finish the season. Skybound will work with the members of the original Telltale team to finish the story in a way the fans deserve. And then later we got the official Skybound statement stating Skybound has claimed ownership of the final season of Walking Dead and will finish it out.
Just in time for season 9 of Walking Dead to start.
Yep. But Rick's, I mean, hey, this is great for the fans that I mean, the fact that Skybound's taking ownership of this, I'm like, does Image also... Was Fables an Image book?
No, that's Vertigo.
Ah, damn it. I was going to say, they could bring back Wolf Among Us, right? Nope.
No.
Maybe Vertigo would be like, huh, they brought that back. Ayo, Telltale.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, like, are other studios going to try and buy the rights to these, or is this just, like, that special case since this season had already started?
I don't even
started?
Think if it's buying rights... But, like, just letting it lapse. Like, if anything...
Sure.
I know when they did the Wolf Among Us comic book, it was labeled DC Vertigo as well as Telltale. So I guess you're right in that regard. But, I mean, as much as I'd love a Wolf Among Us 2 to come out, there's 26 volumes of Fables.
Yeah.
That you could just
read.
It's
not necessary, but yeah. It was good.
It's just like, here's all the build up to all of your characters from Fables issue 1. And it's like, oh,
that's
okay.
Neat. Great. I don't, as much as I want Gearbox to go and grab Tales from the Borderlands, I don't see them doing that since, you know, they haven't said anything about Borderlands 3 in the last, like, 4 years. So, don't see that happening anytime soon.
Maybe they're just being quiet.
Well, everyone was like, all right, we should see, like, some sort of announcement at E3 about Borderlands 3, right? There was not even a peep of, like, not a teaser, not an announcement, nothing. It's like, what is the state of that game? Like, is it still happening?
I still have hope.
I mean, it's one of their flagships, so you'd think it will.
Well, it's like how Claptrap currently works at Rooster Teeth now as the head of their games division. And
sure.
Rooster Teeth has acquired, like, Bendy and the Ink Machine, which is now everywhere. But it's just like, oh, cool, all the former employees are possibly looking for other things to do now?
I hope not.
Well, even then, I don't know.
Gearbox is based out of Texas, so yeah. I imagine there's some crossover there.
That's true. It's kind of sad, and as I've only ever played episode 1 of The Walking Dead, and
I played the first season.
I'm glad that they're coming back for the people that really want that story.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's good that they're finishing it out since they literally put 2 episodes out already.
Yeah. I feel like I was part of the problem, to be perfectly honest, because I was one of those people that's like, oh, cool, a new episode's out. Where's my favorite YouTuber?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, they didn't do anything. I think the problem was they didn't do anything drastically different to, like, change up the formula. It's like, you could literally watch out how all these stories play.
Yeah.
It's different from, like, say, Detroit Become Human, where there's, like, so many different branching endings that's, like, you really should, like, play.
Or all your choices actually do matter.
Yeah, yeah, like, those will actually affect the game. It's like, all the Telltale games, more or less, you end up at the same point. It's just like, oh, what small variations do you have?
Who's dead?
More or less.
Bless you.
Who's dead or missing an arm? Because, like, Walking Dead Season 1, no matter what choices you make, no matter what path you go down,
Lee dies.
No matter
what.
Spoilers. It's just a matter of
6 years old.
It's like, they're because I thought, you know, because Walking Dead was my first Telltale game, I thought, oh, my choices should actually matter. So I chopped off his arm, because that's what they did to Herschel in Season 2.
Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah, but
recipes in real life.
But then when I watched him, like, oh, he's dying anyway. And then I watched someone else play through it, and they didn't cut off his arm. Like, oh, he dies anyway. Cool.
That, yeah.
My choices don't matter.
It's like, the only choice that matters is who lasts just a little bit longer.
Duck.
Yeah. Fuck Duck.
No matter what, Duck always survives. No matter who you choose to save in that moment.
Really?
Duck lives.
I think you could kill him. Because he just kept fucking everything up.
He dies eventually, but no matter what, in that farm scene, Duck always lives.
Hmm. It does.
Oh, the farm scene. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, do you have Kenny on your side from the beginning, or is he an asshole through the whole thing, not just part of it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, good on Skybound though for taking this up and giving fans what they want to see.
Yeah. I enjoy Skybound.
Also,
they put out amazing things.
Yeah. Also, giving those Telltale employees a job again already. Like,
good on them. Hey, sorry we can't hire you, like, fully, but here's a contract.
Yeah, here's at least a contract for a few months to at least get, like, keep you up on your feet while you figure out.
And it's still terrible to think, like, of the 400 employees there, they're probably only hiring, like, a crew of 50 to 100.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good for those guys, but, I mean, it's fucking sucks that they're losing their jobs without severance. Like, God, that's
class action lawsuit.
Yep.
Did we talk about the Harry Potter thing last week? Or was that this week?
Which Harry Potter thing?
The leaked Harry Potter game.
I think we talked about it briefly.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it very briefly.
Or did we just talk about it while we were upstairs one night when it got leaked? Anyways, there's a Harry Potter game supposedly coming out. There's leaked cell phone footage from a screening.
Yeah.
This dude didn't sign an NDA or anything, but he's going to get, like, super fucked,
probably,
I feel.
If he gets found out of who he is.
Yeah.
The current rumor is that it's Avalanche Studios who Warner Bros. Bought back actually last year in 2017, mm-hmm. So this is highly reasonable that they could put this together if they're working on it.
Yeah, Avalanche Studios, formerly of Disney,
yep.
Infinity. And it's like, it's really cool to see. It's like, oh yeah, you're a late student, which sucks because I want to go like year like, one, yeah, year like, two, year sure. three.
Like, I want to get my letter. I want
to. But you can you still get to do all of that though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can see it like being like fast forward of like, you got your letter. Yeah.
Now go pick your house.
Yeah. It's like, now you get to go do the sorting hat. What's
cool about the current rumor is that it's going to take place in the late 1800s, I think.
Yeah.
So it's like completely separated from the Harry Potter storyline.
You're not going to be sitting there and be like, hey, you hear about that guy, Harry Potter? God damn it. I'm a side character just, in his yeah. story.
You're just like a Hufflepuff. It's like, fucking Harry Potter. I just want to go to school.
It's like, chapter 6. You're in the stands of the Grand Wizard Games. It's like,
God damn it.
It's like, go yeah. Cedric.
Mash Ooh. X to cheer.
Mash X to cheer for Cedric Diggory.
Press effort respect.
It's like, oh, look, they warped back. What's happening? There's a big crowd in front of me. I can't see.
Why does it want me to press F? Oh, God. Boy, oh, God. Boy, respect. I sure respect. Wish
I Who's knew. That shouting about that? Their boy being dead? All I hear is, my boy. That's my boy. What's going on?
Boy, Pass I, after. Sure, I sure wish I could see what's happening underwater right now. Bet it's real exciting.
Yeah.
Man, did you guys hear about that Order of the Phoenix going around? What's up with that?
So
right?
What's really cool, too, is that since it's taking place in, like, the 1800s, there's the rumor that this is going to go alongside with, like, a couple of the plagues going around.
What?
Or not the plague, but like there were, I think it was an earlier rumor, like one of those 4chan things, that they were developing a Harry Potter game during the like Dark Ages, and like the plague was going to be explained by it's actually like a bunch of dark wizards going around
people.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see. Like,
that'd be interesting.
Because when did Hogwarts? When was it founded by the Forge?
It's
like that'd be interesting too. Of like. If you were, like, part of the first generation of Hogwarts.
Yeah, that would be pretty neat.
Like, you get to meet, like, Godric Gryffindor.
I'm surprised we haven't had, like, a series of novels like that
yet. Ninth century.
Okay.
Well, like, with all the, like, each, there's a book about each founder.
Yeah. I'm one of those people right now, as much as I love Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter. I think J.K. Rowling just needs to leave it alone right now.
Let somebody else do it.
Well, not even that. Just like, all right, so we're doing the entire Fantastic Beasts series of movies. Great. Awesome. Young Dumbledore. The director confirms we get to see Dumbledore be a bit gay. Cool. It's not one of those things J.K. Rowling just throws out into ether.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, man, the snake woman.
Yeah, Nagani.
She's actually... So the new Korean actress is Nagani. I actually call her Nagini, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. But she's like, okay, so you're, like, a South... Or not even like a South. So you're a South Korean woman who is using Japanese mythology that transforms into a Saudi Arabian snake because of a blood curse from the Japanese mythology. So you're telling me that one of the four Asian characters in the entire Harry Potter series is subservient to a white dude and gets her head cut off. Cool. Please just leave it alone. Just make new characters for everything. We don't need to know that Grindelwald's BFF is a snake woman who later serves Voldemort.
Yeah. We could do without that.
It's just one of those minor things that's just like, man, we got Cho Chang, Su Lee, and then snake woman. Great.
We never know. That could be a different Nagini.
No, it's Rowling confirmed it's her.
Yeah.
Rowling, it could be a different Nagini.
Voldemort
could have named his snake after her.
One thing that is also pointing that this is actually going to be a thing is there was a job posting from Avalanche saying, yeah. Hey, we need a director for this this RPG-styled game that we're working on. It's like, that seems to all line up.
Dang it, we don't get Dumbledore either because he was...
I think this is that's a good thing because now they can literally do what they want.
That's true.
They don't have to tie it
I wonder
back.
If Dumbledore is going to be like... So Dumbledore served as headmaster from 1960 to 1997. And then I guess he was... So in Newt's time period, he was still...
He was just a professor.
He was their charms professor.
No, he was the defense against dark arts. They have that in the trailer. It's
yeah, because he was teaching them.
Jude Law's playing young Dumbledore.
Yeah,
right. I thought he was charms.
He was teaching them to face their fears. And.
Oh, yeah, fair game. I like Harry Potter, but not that much. I'm kidding. But, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be, like, small, subtle hints. It's like, yes, the Black family. Sirius Black the First. oh, look, the Potter family. There's Charles Potter over there. Yeah, like that.
There'll be like little teasers. There'll be Easter eggs, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, it's not going to be like directly tied to anything, which I think is the right decision in this.
I just want, if you can go into Slytherin and just learn about a cadaver, just walk around school like, ha, ha, ha.
Not all Slytherins are dark wizards, Steve. That's a stereotype.
I mean, apparently... Like,
pray tell, how many of the bad guys in Hogwarts were from Slytherin?
I could tell you good guys that were Slytherin.
Can you tell me bad guys who were Hufflepuff? Ravenclaw?
Tom Riddle. Tom Riddle was everywhere.
Tom Riddle was Slytherin.
I know. But Hufflepuffs don't do anything except jerk off with each other in the...
fucking messing with the wrong mic this whole goddamn time.
Hey. Zach's like, I'm going to turn myself up. That's my mic, Zachary.
Isn't it? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. It's going over there. God damn it, me.
Hufflepuff's
I'm like, why is he still getting louder? I'm trying to turn him down.
Hufflepuff's having orgies in the
common sorry, room. Everyone.
Just like the
evil?
Beatles.
Yeah, how could they be evil?
Oh my god, are the Beatles part of Hufflepuff?
Oh my god, if you get in Hufflepuff, you're like, and this here is Ringo Starr.
Well, he was the second drummer of the Beatles. Let's have the OG there.
Wasn't Paul McCartney the original drummer?
No.
I think he was.
Fucking no. I don't know the Beatles.
There's some Beatles movie where they explain that. I don't know. It exists.
But right. How do you... why do you think they had the orgies? Ringo Starr was a Hufflepuff and then joined the Beatles and then passed on the Hufflepuff ideology to the Beatles.
Pete Best.
And they kicked him out.
And then Paul McCartney also did play the drums.
Aha! Right.
And then came Ringo.
Ringo.
Ringo. Peace and love. Peace and love.
What about the other five Beatles that no one ever talks about? They went through quite a few drummers.
They weren't the famous ones.
Yeah.
They didn't stick around. They couldn't deal with all the bullshit.
They couldn't deal with all the orgies.
But Jeff.
I just don't
know. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. Beatles orgies. Paul McCartney tells all.
Safe search off. Coward.
Do it.
All right. So, Harry Potter game would be cool. Telltale Walking Dead.
I imagine
cool.
We get like some sort of teaser either late this year or sometime next year.
Yeah, it's like along right now, there are rumors. I think I saw this on Forbes. There's two rumors currently going on. One rumor is that a new model of the Switch is going to come out next year and being announced at E3.
Just like minor improvements, nothing.
Yeah, it's
insane.
Like how the new 3DS came out. I really hope it's just like a bigger Switch.
I don't think it's good. I don't think they'll make it any bigger. They might use more of the real estate on this for the screen.
Maybe they'll add a headphone jack or Bluetooth. Yeah,
well, they have
headphone jack.
You mean a microphone jack too?
Yeah,
it'd
be amazing, right?
It is a microphone jack. Also,
well, no, like how right. Splatoon has like the ungodly.
Right, because Nintendo developed it that way. With Fortnite, you just plug in a headset, you have voice chat.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. Yeah,
I always thought you didn't Splatoon. Have it.
Yeah, no, it has a microphone jack in it. Nintendo just decided not to utilize it with Splatoon for whatever god-awful
Nintendo
reason.
Nintendo doesn't seem to understand online still.
They're catching up.
They're trying.
They're like your little brother that's trying to show you their little boat they made, and it's just like, oh, that's nice. And
or they want to play with you cooperatively. You just give them a controller turned off.
You give them the PS4 controller while you're on Xbox. Yep. And then there's also rumors that Sony's currently working on backwards compatibility for the PS5, supposedly.
Yeah, whatever that's going to be.
Yeah. I don't think we're near another console cycle just yet. I want to say 2020, hopefully.
I say next year we see an announcement of it, and then 2020.
Look, man, I really want to upgrade my Xbox.
Please don't tell me. You're just holding out.
It's like, oh, man, everyone else loaded into Siege. Here I am. Waiting. Oh, cool. Black screen. Someone TK me, please.
Someone help.
All right. New York Comic Con news. Brian Michael Bendis is going to lead a teen-focused DC imprint. So this is coming along the lines of how Killing Zone, Young Animal, DC Inc. and Zoom. These are all pop-up imprints. So when Bendis got hired on originally, he and Dan Didio saw the success of Young Animal being like this really cool niche thing. So what does Bendis do? Except the thing he does best? Teenagers. Teenage
attitude.
Superheroes.
All the teen with books.
Attitude. Yeah.
So much attitude.
Today announced at DC or at New York Comic Con, Young Justice, the comic, will spearhead Bendis' new teen-focused DC imprint called Wonder Comics, telling all new in-continuity stories at younger audiences. So Bendis will curate the line and he won't necessarily be involved in every book in the initial roster, very similar to how Gerard Way was only writing like two books at the time of Young Animal starts. He'll co-write Naomi, a new title with David Walker featuring art from Jamal Campbell, a new series based on a new young hero. Meanwhile, Mark Russell and Stephen Byrne will lead a new reboot of the Wonder Twins, the first time Zan and Jaina will be seen in DC's post-rebirth continuity. Sam Humphries and Joe Quiñones will round out the extra teams with the new take on the classic Dial H for Hero book, described as an updated take on the Silver Age classic about a magical dial that let ordinary people temporarily become superheroes in times of crisis.
Ooh, neat.
Very similar to Ben 10. And it gets us the best character that was ever created in the New 52, Open Window Man.
Oh my god, he's the one who can dive through any open window, right?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all he does?
His parents were murdered down in an alley, and he was sitting as an adult in his home, thinking about how his parents died, and then the flutters to the window opened.
Shutters to the window opened,
and he said, "Father, yes, I understand. I will become the open window." And he wears balloons around his neck and a window frame.
Oh, my God.
I want to be this character. You have no idea.
There's your cosplay.
There's my D-lister of the year. In addition to this, the heavier hitting Wonder Comics will feature a Young Justice book. It doesn't build on the animated series, but it's the original brand, the original Young Justice team from the late 90s/early aughts. Aughts.
Is that what we're calling it now?
Well, no.
Are we at aughts?
Yeah, that's what...
The O of
the O's. Early 2000s were like 01, 02, 03.
Yeah.
Those are the aughts.
This is the first time I've heard them called that.
I've heard of aughts and aughts.
I've just heard it called the early 2000s.
It's like, well, aughts came from people referring to like the 1900s. It's like 1901, 1902 was aught 1, aught 2.
Anyways... The new Young Justice team will be written by Brian Michael Bendis with art from Patrick Gleason and will feature Tim Drake, Robin, Donna Troy's Wonder Girl. Wait, Donna Troy. Connor Kent and Bart Allen. I think it should be Cassie.
Yeah, where's Cassie in this?
As well as a new character called the Teen Lantern, a young girl who hacked the Green Lantern Corps Power Ring for her own use, and she's Bolivian. In addition to that, there's a new title I believe I saw that is featuring Jonah Hex's like great 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 granddaughter.
Yeah, Ginny Hex.
Which I think is gonna be wild.
Also, what is it with the Westerns and like naming their daughters Ginny? There's so many Ginnies.
I don't know. Okay. It's definitely Cass and not Donna because Cass is on the cover.
So sorry, that's IO9. It's probably a mistype then.
Yeah. And this is the first look that we get of Connor Kent since New 52, so I'm really happy about
that. Metropolis Kid.
He's in the Metropolis Kid. It looks like this book came back out of like Peter David's run. I'm so excited. And because, again, it's Brian Michael Bendis, he knows how to write teen superheroes the best.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so jazzed.
Yeah, that is his MO, yeah. More or less.
In addition, I think...
He's also doing so many things at DC now.
I mean, he's only writing Scarlet, Pearl, Cover, Superman, Action Comics.
It's only like he has two whole new imprints at DC within his first year.
I mean...
Jinx World, Wonder Now.
Yeah.
It's like, good Lord, Bendis.
I'm so excited.
They literally like gave you the toy box and you dove into it.
These are mine.
You didn't even dive into it. You just took the toy box, dumped it all on the floor. Like, this.
Everything.
All of this.
One of the things he wanted to was to have Static be on his team, but I guess he got the no because of the Milestone.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Really weird legal case right now. Supposed to come out in 2017. It's currently 2018, so, you know.
Almost 2019.
Oh, and in addition to this, from New York Comic Con, it has been announced that Titans, the TV show, has been granted a second season.
Already.
Yep. Young Justice Outsiders will be dropping new episodes every Friday. And
I think it starts October 27th?
2019.
Oh.
For Young Justice Outsiders. And in addition to that, they also announced there's going to be a new Young Justice comic book based on the animated series that's going to bridge the gap between seasons 2 and 3 with Greg Weisman and Christopher Jones, who were part of the original team.
Yep, which is really cool.
And it's exclusive on DC Universe, so you're going to
I'm going to
get it. It's terrible. I'm just waiting for Young Justice to drop, or at least Titans.
Right.
I'm not going to be an early adopter.
But speaking of DC Universe, I guess I could move that up.
Yeah. Harley Quinn, the DC Universe show.
We got a teaser trailer for it.
Yeah, it's very tongue-in-cheek. Like,
yeah, it also seems it's a little more adult-themed. You know, yeah. Since she drops an F-bomb in it, even though they censor it.
Yeah, IGN, this article is coming from us from them, and it's starring Kaley Cuoco from The Big Bang Theory, who will also executive produce the show and voice Harley. So we got two people from Big Bang Theory to voice Harley.
Yeah. At some point.
The show will depict what happens when Harley breaks off from the Joker and sets out to become its biggest villain there is. But while it basically features all supervillains, Cuoco says to expect an animated adult comedy. So it's in the vein of the Deadpool animated series that never came out.
Teaser, yeah, she just makes shots at it. It's like, unlike that Deadpool cartoon, this one's actually fucking coming out.
Yeah. And just based on the animation, it's very Bruce Timm in the sense that, like...
It's like a modern version of Bruce Timm.
Yeah.
A lot cleaner. Not sure how I feel about Poison Ivy being like a very Raven from Teen Titans, just like
just the emo kid.
Super monotone. Like she hates everything.
She hates everything, but Harley.
Yeah,
that's what we know. But my favorite thing about it is that they got the Batman from The Brave and the Bold to come back.
Oh, really? Is that who it is?
And I'm like, yes, the Hammer of Justice is unisex. I remember this. He's like one of my favorite Batmans.
Yeah, it honestly looks like a fun show. Like, I'll give it a watch.
Yeah.
It's part of the DC Universe, so there you
go. Steve, any thoughts? Are you playing that Nintendo game again?
Yes, I am.
You kids and your darn Nintendos and game... Oh, did you hear about that rumor? About Game Boy?
Nintendo's... Yeah, you can turn your smartphone into a Game Boy.
Yeah, there's a phone case coming out that will turn your phone into a Game Boy.
Those have been to run emulators. A little while.
Well, like, there's Nintendo proprietary.
Wow.
All right.
Do it a Game Boy Color, I'll buy one.
Is that going to be their solution for the Game Boy Classic or something? It's just an app.
Rest in peace, Game Boy Classic.
We don't need it. We really don't.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
We do need an N64 Classic.
Give us a GameCube Classic.
I think it's too soon. It would be like Twilight Princess.
GameCube's so F-Zero. Old, though. Came out in 2002.
Soul Calibur 2. 3.
It was 2.
Whatever one had Link in it.
It was 2.
Okay. News from New York Comic Con. Marvel's Darth Vader is ending with issue 25. Charles Soule came out and said, yes, this has been... Issue 25 is going to be the end of the Vader's Fortress arc, which is Vader building his castle on Mustafar. And it's like, this was always the planned ending, so don't get mad or anything. And then Poe Dameron is also ending... this month with issue, I don't remember the issue, but it's like right at the end of Last Jedi is where that takes place chronologically. So those two series are ending, sadly, but
you'll get more Star Wars.
Yeah, there's a new 5-issue miniseries called The Shadow of Vader coming out at IDW, which is supposed to be like a literal horror themed Star Wars book, and the cast of Rebels is in it for an issue. It's just like everyone recounting tales of their fights with Vader.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm most excited about the new book coming out called The Alphabet Squadron. What do you think Alphabet Squadron's about, Steve?
Well, I'm assuming that instead of like Red 1, Red 2, all of that, they're going to be A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
You're very close. I know I told Zach. I don't think Zach remembers.
It's like a super... Yeah, it's like that's all their code names, and they're like, I can't remember what.
Even better, it's not their code names. It's about a group of resistance fighters in between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens, and they all pilot different ships. So you have the X-Wing, Y-Wing, B-Wing, A-Wing, U-Wing. I'm so excited.
God. Are they going to introduce new ships like... Oh, look, here comes the G-Wing. How does it fly?
It rotates. No, that's the B-Wing. You know the B-Wing, like, rotates, right?
Does it?
Yeah, so it's like this, and then it pops open its fins, but the cockpit remains stationary while the rest of the ship rotates around it.
Huh. Would the O-Wing just be like a flying saucer?
I'm so excited. I love... just anything in relation to dogfighting in Star Wars. Like, the Wraith Squadron and Rogue Squadron books were my shit growing up. So I'm super, super jazzed.
Nice.
Alrighty. See, look, we talked about Star Wars very briefly, yeah, and we moved yeah. on. I'm doing better.
I'm a person.
Coming from Bleeding Cool, so hold the salt. This question was asked at CB Cebulski's panel at New York Comic Con, and so a fan in a Wiccan costume asked if the series Young Avengers will be coming, and the editor-in-chief told a questioner that the series would be returning in 2019 and that she'd be very happy. There has been no creative team attached to it. We just know it's coming out. That's all. Go Bleeding Cool. Report yeah, on all I the like minor my Young things. Avengers.
Also, is this going to be another thing for Marvel Synergy where it's like, all right, the comic's back and Chris Evans is apparently done with his shooting for Avengers 4 and it looks like he's going to be done with the role. So is this where we get our Young Avengers? Is it going to happen?
Probably. It's like how Champions is ending in December. And then it's rebooting in January with a new number one.
God. For all you listeners, Steve just gave the biggest eye roll ever.
Why?
Money.
Fuck them!
And usually when a series ends, it's like, all right, let's launch with a new creative team. Yeah, it's the same creative team.
Not God, even just a...
Damn it.
It's not even just a new creative. It's like, all right, we're going to relaunch number one with all new characters. Fuck you. Are they doing new characters?
No.
Good. Fuck you still.
That's even more pointless yeah. then.
Same creative team, same team of characters. Number one. Fuck yourself.
God,
I'm still going to read it. God damn it, Marvel.
Did you guys hear about the Aftershock comic stuff that's coming out too?
I did not, no.
Okay.
Fuck, what's it called? God damn it.
The bear one?
No.
Dead Kings?
No.
That's
the bear one.
That's an image title.
Something I only read.
Was it Aftershock?
It was...
You and me and all other people.
No. Betrothed, that's it.
No.
Coming back finally?
So Aftershock finally, has unveiled two brand new graphic novels for 2019.
No new graphic novels. Give me my bite.
The first one is called Out of the Blue by Garth Ennis and Keith Burns. War is a difficult thing to kill. The Second World War is almost over, but no one seems to have told the Germans as Royal Air Force pilot Jamie McKenzie finds out that he's assigned to a deadly shipping strikes along the enemy coast. Flying the Mosquito fighter bomber against heavily armed targets is dangerous enough at the best of times, but after incurring the wrath of his vengeful commanding officer, Jamie is assigned the most unpopular navigator in the unit, not to mention the least reliable aircraft. Worse still, the commander's sights are firmly set on Jamie's beautiful young wife, Beth.
So it's like the opposite of the
Pearl
whole,
Harbor.
Well, the whole Japanese soldiers on the islands that never got told the war was over for like 40 years.
I'm excited. Again, Marching. It's World War II with more planes.
There you go.
Do you think that just in the background you'll see like little text tick, 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 tick.
The other new graphic novel that's coming out is by Marguerite Bennett and Leela Leitz called Horde.
For the Horde?
After the death of her father, Ruby Ondo tries to reconnect with her estranged and isolated mother, whose hoarder house is a nightmare labyrinth of secrets and dangers. All the love Ruby was never shown, she sees her mother lavish on her trinkets and treasures, the possessions that possess her. But when Ruby desperately tries to free her mother, the house wages war, ensnaring both women within its maze. Brought to a hideous and twisted life by her mother's love, the Horde is determined to purge Ruby from the collection, or else see her join it forever.
Huh. Okay.
It seems like more companies are kind of moving into this prestige format. Like, I know Image is doing All My Heroes Were Junkies with Sean Phillips and Ed Brubaker. And even, I guess, at the Image panel today, they announced that they're going to return back to Criminal. So I'm like, well, crap, I have, like, volumes to catch up if I want to read this series by them. Because they just keep breaking my heart in every series that they do. Rest in peace, Killer Be Killed.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who went there.
What? Oh, keep breaking my heart?
Yeah, yep. Don't go breaking my heart.
I couldn't if I tried. Oh, wait. Boom Studios surprises a New York Comic Con panel with the lowest print run Power Rangers ever. It's been a big week for Boom, announcing a new series of graphic novels with R.L. Stine, announcing Eisner Award-ready Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but they saved the biggest surprise for the last day of Comic-Con, and they gave it to fans for free.
Full free.
Full free.
What is it? Only with only 400 copies made, and no chance copies will be made available again ever to fans anywhere. This is the lowest print run for a single Power Rangers comic. And I guess it's, I don't even know what it is.
Is it like an exclusive variant or?
It says a limited edition first chapter comic for panel attendees only.
And anyone who puts it on eBay.
But what does that mean?
Well, issues are going for $150.
Did they do the whole, and look under your seats right now.
You get a Power Rangers comic. You get a Power Rangers comic. Everybody gets a Power Rangers comic. So
it's the first chapter of Soul of the Dragon.
Oh.
And it will never be printed because Soul of the Dragon is going to be a graphic novel.
Yeah, I'll just buy the full graphic novel when it comes out.
But you don't have the exclusivity.
Yeah. What
else?
Already
missing multiple covers of Draken. Hopefully they're still making the con circuit.
You can only hope, right?
Looking at you, Blacken.
Did you not get Blacken?
No. I know there was the guy on CCB who was like, yeah, there's someone in this group selling it for 40. I'm like, tempting, but I'll wait to see if it makes the con circuit. And...
Well, you also need the pink dragon shield cover now.
I mean, there's hope at Emerald City if we go.
I hate the fact that these covers exist, by the way. Because it's like, I have one of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. You hate the fact that they exist?
It's the same
thing. You hate the fact that they exist?
Of us having the godheads for Wickdiv. And it's like,
I got my dog head.
I know I have a couple that you don't.
I think I'm only missing.
You're missing like an A cover.
Yeah,
or a
I'm missing number one cover A,
which
the original Laura. Yeah.
Do you have the split cover of Laura Lucifer?
No, I don't have that. But that seems kind of pointless if I can get my hands on cover one A.
One A.
A.
And that series is gonna end soon and break my heart.
Seven total issues left. With the funnies coming out in November.
Yeah. All right. Aquaman trailer. More New York Comic Con stuff.
Aquaman.
Fucking sharks versus seahorses. I'm so excited.
Is that a shout out for Tim who got mad at us because we didn't mention the battle seahorses?
Yeah. But it looks so good. They've managed to make the seahorses not look doofy.
Yeah. My biggest concern, which I thought from the beginning with just all the news coming out, is I feel like there's still going to be way too many elements that they're trying to cram into this one movie. Like, the whole, a big portion of the extended sequence was Mara and Arthur running around what it looks like.
Being chased by
like
Manta.
Tunisia, probably, or something, since they're near the Sahara. I'm just like, what? And then it jumps back to Orm fighting someone.
Orm was fighting Arthur.
That wasn't Arthur in the beard?
Maybe.
The guy with the red hair.
Oh, never mind.
I didn't even know who that was.
Maybe someone from Zeebel.
I don't know. Maybe it could have been. I don't know. That's my biggest concern. It's like, it seems like there's going to be a lot that they're trying to cram into this.
Yeah, it's very much like, okay, so a little bit of Throne of the Atlantis, a little bit of the Trench, and then Black Manta all thrown into the film.
Yeah, I'm just like, that seems like a lot you're trying to put into this one
movie.
But
James Wan is like the most brilliant cinematographer.
Yeah,
the
shot with Aquaman was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. Just Black Manta looks so good. Just so excited.
Giant suit with the jetpack.
Yeah.
Fucking laser eyes.
Shout out to Rainbow Six. Just the whole thing too, like whoever plays Black Manta in the recording booth, he like has a trash can held in front of him just so he can get the echo voice. Like, that's not done post modulation. I really want the movie to be good. It looks so bright and colorful. I think this is what we need after, you know, the Snyderverse of everything.
Also, Mara's hair just looks like straight out of the comics. It's so bright.
Yeah. If anything, if this movie succeeds and Shazam succeeds, I think we might get like a new DC Trinity out of it, like a film Trinity.
Maybe. Like, I don't know. Maybe this will be their like soft restart. It's like, all right, here's stuff we haven't really seen too much of.
Yeah.
And the whole, you know, Batman's essentially in limbo still.
Nah, dude, Ben Affleck's getting fit again. So everyone's like, he's going to be doing Batman soon. Like, he's been, so he, like, bulked up, like, got a little fat Mac, and then now he's, like, looking really shredded again. I just want him to stay forever. He's just so good as Batman.
I don't know if he's going to.
Either that or bring in Michael Keaton and just do, like, Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, just do old Wayne. Then just jump to Batman Beyond. Fuck it.
Just have Dick Grayson take over.
There you go. Let's get some Black Mirror in here.
Yeah. Especially with the leaked stuff or the small little teasers for Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. I'm still not sure how I feel about that.
He's very Jack Nicholson Joker. From a little just, bit. Like, the small look.
It's kind of, I don't know. It just bothers me in a way that it's like, we're going to tell a Joker story without Batman. I'm like, oh, that's like telling a Venom story without Spider-Man. Which, according to a lot of people in CCBE, they've enjoyed it. But it's like, you know, the added inclusion of Spider-Man somewhere might have made it a little bit better just for them in their comic book fanboy sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit on it. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to watch it yet.
But, yeah. Aquaman, please be good. It's coming out in December. We're getting there.
Yeah. Steve, you good?
Yeah.
You're just being very quiet.
So funny.
Tim's just messaging. Steve, you want to say anything about Aquaman?
It looks good.
Okay.
I'm excited for it.
And we get Good Omens. Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman's classic.
Here, I'll put away my game. I'll be present.
I'm still reading the book. I'm reading like four different books right now.
I mean, it looks. I feel like it has the tone that the book always went for.
Yeah, it's like just the snippety snappity.
Yeah, I mean, they use freaking Queen. You're My Best Friend as the trailer song.
I'm really glad Queen's letting people use their music again.
Yeah. I mean, this might be an Amazon Prime show that I'm actually interested in.
Well, you haven't been interested in The Big Sick. Movie from Amazon. I don't know.
That wasn't a Prime exclusive, though.
It was.
Was it?
Yeah.
I could have sworn it was in theaters, though.
Temporarily.
Like a limited run, but.
I mean, that's not technically exclusive.
Well,
but
Amazon has Amazon Studios now, so it's the same vein of like, we produce these movies for a limited run in theaters, and then it's ours.
All right.
Kind of like how YouTube does Laser Team.
Or like the anytime Funimation puts a movie out in the theaters, it's only for a limited release.
All right, hit me with the logistics.
We hit you with the best shot.
Bam, 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 bam.
I'm excited. I love how David Tennant just can fold into anything lately.
Yeah, and he even brings out his like snively, like evil David Tennant.
Yeah, he's supposed to be
menacing a demon when he does that. I love it.
I know it won't happen, but I just want him to slip in one Alan Z somewhere in there.
Just tease people with it. It's like, I'm sure he wants to avoid being the Doctor for a while.
But just for fans, just to be like, they need to go somewhere quickly. Like, all right, Alan Z. It's like,
Same how like Matt Smith. He's like, I'm going to shave my head and be in Royals.
Never say Geronimo again.
Has a new Doctor come out yet?
There was a teaser for it.
Jodie Whittaker.
Apparently, she doesn't have companions anymore. She has friends. That's what they're calling them. Friends of the Doctor.
But it's always been companions.
What do you... Oh.
Yeah, I'm just popping my fingers.
Like, still going to give it a new chance? It's a new Doctor, a new writer.
I mean, they've broken all the rules of the old Doctor, so fuck it. It's all new territory now.
Bucket.
I know you guys don't like Moffat. I enjoy what he's been doing. I'm catching up on the Capaldi stuff, who's still been being written by Moffat, or was written by Moffat. He's done a really good job.
Moffat had a good start. I just felt like he just started. I don't know. I did feel
it
like,
in.
Yeah, he didn't seem like he had like a clear direction of what he wanted to
My
do.
My favorite episodes from the Moffat series were written by Neil Gaiman. So I mean. There's not much I can say.
I mean, all of his one-shots are, like, some of the most legendary Doctor episodes, like Silence in the Library.
Russell T. Davies.
Was that Russell T. Davies? Oh, I'm thinking of What was the... Or Blink, that was it.
Russell T. Davies.
No, Blink was Moffat.
Was it?
Yeah, Blink okay. was one of Moffat's first episodes.
I believe you.
Which I think he went back to with, like, the second season of Capaldi. Of it was a lot of one-shots, and then turned out at the end that it was an overarching plot that wrapped up nicely.
I felt like that was always, like, his weakest point, was trying to write an overarching plot.
It was written by Moffat, and it was actually based on a previous short by Moffat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he wrote it twice.
I know he had, like, a couple one-shots in the Russell T. Davies era. It was, like, Blink and, what was the other one?
The Adventures of Tintin.
Yes, no, that animated movie.
No, not that.
He also did Blink. The Girl in the Fireplace also.
Oh, okay.
The Girl in the Fireplace was a great episode.
Yeah, it's like he's had good episodes.
Yeah. All Science Library was also him.
Damn. Yeah, I was right.
Look at you.
Because anything with River Song, like anything very heavy River Song focus was always Moffat.
Yeah, and Russell T. Davies was the executive producer on it. Oh, wait. Okay, never mind.
Ha! You're good. Point for Zach.
Is that your it's first point rare. On the whiteboard?
It's very rare.
Dust off the board.
Maybe we'll put up a whiteboard in the new space whenever that happens.
Who was right?
Yeah, just keep a running track.
Mine goes off the board. Just onto the wall. Should we put a green screen too? Just like pull up the board. And
ding. Yes, a green screen for this audio podcast.
Yeah.
It's like a little window opens in the podcast app of just like a green screen.
Just like
there you go.
What was that trend that iTunes tried to do for a while? It was like the smart podcasts where they try to put like the pictures and videos on top of where the thumbnail was.
I think it was like if they include, you could include a like an image with a link or something.
Yeah. That did not go well.
No, it did not.
Especially in the age of, like, I have an iPod Touch. I don't have internet.
Nope. Did not work.
Anyways, that's all. All right, yep. Moving forward. What else do we got? New Into the Spider-Verse trailer. We got our first, like, a Penny Parker, Spider-Ham, and Spider-Noir.
And a better look at Gwen Stacy.
Yeah. Have you heard the theory that the Peter Parker is actually Tobey Maguire's?
Yeah, we talked about this because he does the train stop, and then
all the shots are from the Spider-Man.
Doc Ock throwing the car through the
him kissing
window.
Mary Jane upside down. Yeah.
Those were very Tobey Maguire.
My only problem with
all of those are Tobey Maguire.
That Peter Parker, like, I feel like at the end of Spider-Man 3, he finally deserves that happy ending, but he's still down on his luck, like hobo style.
Well,
unless
he's very
like
scruffy,
right? And that's what they're kind of going for. Of the after all of the shittery that went down in Spider-Man 3 to him, like he had to blow up Eddie Brock. Essentially, he lost his best friend.
I feel like he deserves a happy ending. Ooh, Tom Taylor's writing a new Spider-Man comic too. Sorry,
but I could see him being kind of a more disheveled, like, "What am I doing, Peter Parker?"
Yeah, lands himself in another dimension, Peter Parker.
Yep.
Which but, isn't too bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super jazzed about Into the Spider-Verse as a whole. But again, I don't know what it is with this new 3D animation, but even this one had stuttery frame rates at times. I'm just like, what is with this? Like, can people not figure out how to make this smooth? Is
it
still that
developers?
New?
They don't work for Pixar.
I just don't know. It's like, it's throwing me off. I'm like, this isn't the first instance of this either.
What was Sony's last animated film?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Was it like one of those bootleg, not bootleg Disney ones?
I think they did Hotel Transylvania 3.
Did they?
I think Sony Animation has the Hotel Transylvania.
I'm just waiting on that to come to Netflix. First two were great.
Oh, yeah, first two were fantastic. I love the series. But
right. They just did the third one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just the third one?
Yeah, but it wasn't in this 3D. It's this new, like, styled 3D,
the
cel
shaded comic booky.
I'm wondering because I didn't really notice stuttery that much.
It wasn't like apparent. It wasn't as bad as Dragon Prince, but there were scenes where I'm like, that's a little slow there. It's like it catches up, but it's like every now and then, I don't know if it's just I'm used to like seeing like when frame rate drops, and I can tell from like playing Overwatch so much, and my frame rate just like suddenly plummets.
So, yeah,
I don't know. It's a minor detail, but it's like, What is going on? Why are so many people having trouble with this? Like, is it just the software they're using? Is it, like, so new that people are still learning how to figure this out? I don't know. Like, I mean, even when, like, Miles is flying through the city and some of the shots, I'm like, that's a little slow.
Actually, that's, like, turn the page for the comic book.
I mean, maybe that's what they're going for. Maybe they're intentionally doing this to make it feel like it's you're watching a comic book play out.
Yeah, well, like, look at just the coloring for everyone. Like, Gwen in that trailer looks like she came straight out of Earth 65 when she's drumming and all the neons.
Yeah, even the background. Like, if you focus on the backgrounds and not the characters, it has, like, the dots of old school comic books. Like, everything in the background that's not a character or in focus has a kind of filter on that makes it look like...
Clearly, you only watched the trailer once.
Boom!
At like full, a regular speed.
Why do you have to bring that up every time?
Because you do.
Yeah, it's... They're going for, like, this is coming straight off the pages of a comic book. Because, like, when it's all neon, it's not like they put neon lights there. It's they put a filter that is used for 3D movies. Like the red and blue overlay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the neon background of this is what we use for a 3D movie, but everything else isn't in that 3D filter.
And can you believe that with this Miles Morales Spider-Man movie coming out, that Marvel's current Spider event, Spider-Geddon, is actually a Miles Morales storyline with all the different spiders from across the multiverse?
No way.
Synergy.
But I will say I do appreciate that they all have their own unique animation styles. Like Spider-Ham looks like he came out of Looney Tunes. Penny looks like she's an anime girl.
2004 Sailor Moon.
Yeah. And Noir looks like he's from a crime noir film.
Yeah.
See, it just makes me... I'm not worried about it.
I'm not either.
I really love Penny a lot. But like Gerard Way's Penny was very Evangelion. And then this one looks like D.Va, I feel. With her spider...
I mean, it even feels like just her character is, like, very cheery.
Again, it's a movie that's made more for the children audience, so they can't go this one looks Evangelion.
Like, I mean, Gerard Way.
This one looks way better than, like, some of the other stuff they put out recently.
It's true.
This one looks like this is for, like, fans.
Yeah. I'm super appreciative. And even, like, in the background shots, they have, like, their own, like, power chamber thing where Peter's just looking at all the other suits and you can see the PS4 Spider-Man suit in there.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like, I think it was the one who designed the suit, like, screenshot him, like, oh, I see something familiar in the background. And like, what? It's Aunt May. Oh, the white Aunt suit. May.
Holy shit, Aunt May's Spider-Man.
Spider-May.
It's an actual thing.
Mayday Parker.
Also, she got killed by the Inheritors.
I was kind of hesitant on, like, when they're like, yeah, Nicolas Cage is going to be Spider-Man Noir. And, like, even if it was just a brief clip, I'm like, it fits.
It's surprisingly.
Can you imagine how happy he is? He finally got to be Superman. Now he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then
he's having a great year.
John Mulaney as Spider-Ham, fantastic choice. I love his stand-up. He's a great comedian. And putting that voice and delivery on Spider-Ham is fantastic.
See, my picks would have been either Bill Hader or Patton Oswalt. Patton Oswalt would be amazing.
He would, but again, I think John Mulaney is going to be a good Spider-Ham.
Yeah.
And speaking of hamming it up, Dragon Prince renewed for a second season.
Yay!
How do these shows make money? Is it just like the binging?
I don't know.
I think it's based on Netflix contracts. Like
how do they make money?
They pay a lot of this money up front. Be like, we want the exclusive rights. This is our show. We're going to pay for everything. And then they make their money back through subscriptions.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's not surprising. Like, it was very, like, everyone said, yeah, this is a great, great new show. Again, everybody's problem was the dipping frame rate, which they've said they might make more fluid, which is a little concerning that they don't find it an issue. That, or at least that big of an issue.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it wasn't.
Beyond anything else, it's them telling their story.
Sure. I mean, yeah. And the story is good. It is a very solid story and a very solid starting point. It's just, this one's, like, super apparent when, like, the characters suddenly start moving at half speed.
Yeah, like, episode two, I didn't care about the frame rate anymore just because I was so engrossed in the story.
I mean, I just gave up after one. I'm like, all right, yeah, this is part of it. But, again, it'd be nicer if you made it stable at least. Like, you don't even have to get, like, I don't even know what framework they were going for. don't know, frame rates bother me.
I just found a picture frame rates of Professor are X's Ghost Rider. His wheelchair's on fire.
No, that's actually...
Thank you, Tim Husky.
That's the newest member of the Avenged Geriatrics.
There you go.
Old man Ghost Rider.
I mean, they could almost do that with all the old man characters at this point.
Everyone thought I was a fool when I thought up the idea of the Avenged Geriatrics. Well,
okay, actually, okay, we got Old Lady Kamala, Old Lady Aurora, Old Man Hawkeye, Old Man Wolverine.
Old Man Punisher.
Yeah, we have a whole
old
team
Old Woman
here.
Harley.
You can bring in Old Man Hulk, technically.
Well, isn't Old Man Punisher Cosmic Ghost Rider at this point?
No, I think they're...
No, it's Frank Castle.
Yeah, they're two separate...
Oh, universes. They're doing an Old Man Punisher story?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck. I just totally don't
British
care.
I'm pretty sure they're doing an Old Man Punisher.
Shock. Sorry. Hold on, let me put on my surprised hat real quick.
Wait, I don't care about a Marvel thing that's not Spider-Man? Shit.
What if they announce Old Man Spider-Man?
They tried to pitch that,
old
actually.
Spider-Man.
I mean, after Spider-Man Reign, where it's literally old man Peter Parker who killed Mary Jane with his radioactive sperm, I was just kind of like, we don't need anything. We don't need this.
Why that? Okay, of all things.
They're not doing an Old Man Punisher series, but Old Man Punisher was an Old Man Logan annual earlier this year in September.
Okay.
So they do have the Old Man Punisher. Old Man Iron Man.
Do you think he's dead?
Right before he died.
So the 50 seconds before the end of...
Avengers!
Just Red Skull running around.
Actually, no. It's going to be Tony Stark's dead body, but Jarvis is flying the suit and piloting like a puppet, like, hello, fellow Avengers.
Oh, it's like how Emma Frost paraded Cyclops.
Yes.
Oh, Cyclops might be coming back this year.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
Everybody's favorite.
Is Scott Summers still going to be an asshole?
Scott Summers was right. He technically was right this
season. Doesn't mean he wasn't an asshole. He abandoned his family.
Family. I've made this. This is what he's doing with the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Oh my god, did you...
He's just standing in front of the Brotherhood. Ohana means family.
Did you guys see the thing that happened? Like... Oh, what was it? Like two movies, like subtitles on Netflix got randomly swapped up. So Lilo and Stitch got swapped up with...
Oh, that happens to me all the time.
Oh, God. What movie was it?
Mine was a... Fuck. It was like some war movie got mixed up with Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, it's like it was like some German movie. It was like German subtitles on Lilo and Stitch. The Lilo and Stitch subtitles were on something completely else. Oh, man. I can't remember what it was, but it was great.
I'm trying to find this announcement of champions just so I could show Steve the team.
Champions.
Champion. Any Hoozles. What else do we have to talk about?
I like how you just adopted Any Hoozles as your own thing.
I know. Oh, Kieran Gillen and Stephanie Hans are doing Die for Image. That's great.
Yeah.
They used to be my transition for everything when everything got quiet and awkward. You've stolen it.
I mean, I've been using it in my classroom for a while.
Took it from me.
Oh, wait. Here's your new champions team. It's so what's really nice too is that they're using Christ. I hate everything. So Jim Zub's artist on Wayward and Image titles coming over. So that's, you know, your new creative team. So there's Unstoppable Wasp, so Miles
on
Morales
the on the team,
Kamala
on the team,
Ironheart
on the team,
Amadeus Cho
on the team.
Wait,
is he Amadeus Cho Hulk or his new thing?
His new thing where he's like mildly ripped.
Yeah, so on the team.
Viv Vision with a ponytail.
On the team, but ooh, ponytail.
The guy from the Ultimate Spider-Man TV show that's not Luke Cage. The other Power Man.
Oh, yeah, so Power Man. He's new.
Patriot?
He's currently on the team.
Some new character I think Jim Zub made.
On the team.
Okay.
She was introduced in one of the arcs. She has the power of Voodoo? The Arctic, I guess.
Oh, is she the Inuit person?
Yeah.
Lady. And then some red dude.
That is a she. And I think that... Oh God,
is on the team.
I want to. She's on the team, but I want to say... Not Grasshopper, but something similar.
I can do that.
So Locust. So they've added Power Man and a ponytail.
So Jim Zub said this is he's relaunching it in 2019, and it's going to be basically his Legion of Superheroes for Marvel. Jim Zub later comments on Reddit, because he's very active in the Reddit communities, "When I said the series was Legion, I just meant that we will have a lot of teen heroes appearing in the series. The Newsarama headline makes it sound much stranger than how it was pitched at the panel. The series is called Champions, and our new number one will be acting a strong jumping on point without losing characters and action I've been bringing to our current run. Thank you for the praise and support, gang. It means a lot."
Fuck you for rebooting it to number one. It's not necessary.
I'm sure that's not even his decision.
I know. When he says, like, "I'm rebooting it," like, no, Marvel's rebooting it.
It's like how DC rebooted Nightwing with number 50 with Rich Gray. Because I fucking hate everything about this bullshit run.
So, Rainbow Person is called Snowguard.
Okay.
Anka Aliak.
Everybody's really upset with what is happening with Nightwing.
Gray.
And
his friends call him Gray, and he sleeps in a cab, and he's ignoring Barbara. Fuck everything.
And the red person is called Red Locust.
Give it like
Fernando Ramirez.
Two arcs and he'll go back to it.
And I'm sure Scott Lobdell's trying to do the best he can. Like,
oh god, that's right, Scott Lobdell's doing this.
Well, it was originally Ben Percy's thing, and then Percy apparently got fired from Nightwing, and Lobdell got brought on just to finish scripts, because that's what Lobdell does best.
Is it though?
That's right. Amadeus is now Brawn instead of Hulk. Because some fuckery in Infinity War has happened that changed him. That just happens in between issues of Champions. It's like, Amadeus show Hulk. Next issue, he's Brawn.
Was it the Infinity crossover issues?
I think so, that I didn't pull because I didn't want more events. But clearly I needed them, because Sam lost his powers. Amadeus Cho became Brawn.
Well, actually, I'm sure you're really excited that...
Sam wasn't on that picture, was he?
No.
Fuck.
So you're going to be really excited that Avengers... what was the last Avengers crossover called? No Surrender.
Yeah.
Is getting a sequel.
Oh, neat.
Called No Escape.
Are they going to do bullshit again where it's like, yeah, we just did Avengers No Surrender. Now Avengers Champions crossover again. You have to buy at least 3 issues of Avengers to get the whole story. Fuck you.
How do you really feel?
I love Champions.
Do you feel strongly about Rich Gray also?
I love Champions, but fuck
you. Joined a biker gang.
Stop it.
Oh, he's robbing places.
Lobdell's gone back to his old ways. I read the first issue of the new Red Hood run, and I'm like, nope, I'm out already. I can't do this. This is dumb. I hate this. This is just Jason being edgy for the sake of edgy.
Dan Didio is all like, you know what? We need to create new jumping on points for readers. So we gave... It's like the people that are commenting like, yeah, this version of Robin is edgy and dark and brooding. It's everything anyone could ever want from Richard Grayson.
Does no one realize that edgy is just a meme now?
I was like, do you understand who Dick Grayson is? You know, the bright rainbow sunshine character that everyone loves and adores? Not, ugh.
Now, is it Tom King who's done this, or was it originally Ben Percy who's done the whole...
Tom King just got him shot.
Yeah, but isn't that part of it is like, oh, he got shot, so now he like lost...
He lost his memories. And then a people all dressed up as Nightwing are committing crimes, and it's up to Rich to find out
So they read Catwoman recently and decided to do that.
It sounds like they took We Are Robin and said, fuck you. Like, we are Nightwing, but we also commit crimes.
That's really sad, yeah. Guys.
I mean, I like the whole KG Beast run, because, again, it's going... Tom King's continuing his... Let's emotionally break Batman again. Like, we're just going further down the line. It's like he's lost the love of his life now. One of his main prodigies.
His son.
So we're not even emotionally breaking Batman anymore. We're kicking his emotions while they're on the floor, crumpled up in a ball.
Well, like, the end of the jury arc really made me sad. Like, it was, oh, Bruce actually bribed his way on the jury. That's how he got in. And then it was like, Alfred, get my suit. The original one. I need to remember who I am. And then it's him with the trunks, and I'm just like... Oh,
Adam West Batman.
I'm hoping by like issue like 85 to 90, it's like we finally are starting to get resolution for everything.
I just really want everyone to be okay for 5 seconds.
Like, I hope everything
let will be, people like, be happy, damn.
I hope that's will finally be like the turning point. Like, Bruce is finally happy.
Did you see Fabic also posted his initial art for Three Jokers this weekend. Mm-mm. And Red Hood's new costume looks fucking awesome.
Say that
Batgirl actually has a costume again.
Ooh,
instead of just a mask. And I'm like, man, who is this red-headed hero fighting crime in Gotham City? It surely it can't be Commissioner Gordon's daughter.
I want to see this.
Yeah, the Red Hood.
Just go on Reddit and look up Fabic.
Yeah, Jason, the Red Hood costume looks really
Fabic
good.
Fabic, Three Jokers.
Ooh, Bullseye is going to be the villain of Daredevil Season 3.
Ooh, finally.
God damn it, CBR. Go away. Just want to see this. Ooh, okay. Ooh, yeah. She's going back to her fifth new
villain. Meanwhile, Zach.
Finish a sentence.
There's Batman, Joker. Wait, Red Hood with the hood? Oh, that's original Red Hood. What am I looking at? Red Hood, rest in peace. What am I looking at here? I don't think this is right. That's the interior art. Is that what you're talking about? Oh, that looks so fucking cool. That's so much better than what we have right now in Red Hood.
Yeah, it's like a combination of his Robin costume with the Red Hood leather jacket. And I'm just like, oh, neat. We finally get something cool.
That's actually cool.
Barbara's going back to her regular suit.
Barbara.
And then Bats is going to his Batman Incorporated suit. So we're actually moving towards Doomsday Clock. Finally.
Woo. We're getting there soon.
And it looks like our three Jokers are going to be the Killing Joke Joker, the 60s classic Joker.
For the love of God, let Barbara beat the ever-living shit out of
him. And the original Joker, according to Jason Fabic.
That'll be the most satisfying scene if Barbara beats the ever-living shit out of him.
Yeah. Just meanwhile, Dick Grayson's like, I'll hold your flower.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are, but I'll hold your flower. Because I got shot in the head.
So, just saw this on Facebook. Your favorite Japanese bodybuilder. He's not Japanese, but he's singing with a Japanese girl. Lady Beard.
Yeah.
Did a Bowsette cosplay.
Oh, I thought you said he died. God. I was going to be really worried. I'm like, this is the worst time.
Look.
That's
Lady
real
Beard,
hot.
Bowsette.
Oh, I like his axe.
Lady Beard, Bowsette.
Please release a new album. A album, actually.
Yeah. Not just singles.
Muscle cocktail.
Now that you're pumped enough, shake that sucker up.
And knock it back like that. This is
it's all about time. Learning how to drink protein shakes. All right, Steve.
And all
you
the
have
different
Venom.
Venom.
The Lethal Protector. Was he the Lethal Protector?
Yes. Well, he was set up to be the Lethal Protector.
Post-credit scene. Actually, I'm not going to ask. I could ask Carnage. Like, not even Carnage. Cletus Kasady.
So, since I'm going to talk about Venom.
Spoilers on air.
From here on
until we ever... There's time codes in the notes.
Watch
We're starting
those.
Here.
There's going to be spoilers.
Skip to the last topic if you don't want to hear them.
Are you sure you want me to talk about post-credit scene?
I just want to know if Cletus Kasady.
Cletus Kasady, yes. Okay. It's Eddie Brock going to interview Cletus Kasady. It was a very strange casting choice that I didn't expect, but I think will work out in the long run. If they
Jackie Earl Hurley.
No.
Fuck you.
Woody Harrelson.
Interesting.
As Cletus, I know. I thought, like, when he first turned and spoke, I'm like, that's Woody Harrelson in a weird, doofy Ronald McDonald wig. But when he started speaking, like, talking about, I think he was... He's like, do you want me, like, I can put on the serial killer shtick if you want. I could tell you about the Dada levels of viscera and blood splatter that I left. I'm like, I'm uncomfortable, Woody Harrelson, please stop. So he did a good job as Cletus Kasady, like, the psychotic, like, and of course, for those who don't know who he is in the end, they're like, I'll get out of here. There'll be carnage. I'm like, boom, fade to black.
Venom.
But it was actually a really good, like, I went in with lower expectations because, again, they already said this is going to be separate from the Spider-Verse and everything. So I went in with lower expectations, was pleasantly surprised.
Like, okay.
Tom Hardy, I think, was an excellent choice for Eddie Brock, which it turns out he was also an executive producer on the movie, too. So he had say in the making of the movie. And just as it went on, I'm like, I like this Eddie Brock 10 million times more than Spider-Man 3 Eddie Brock.
What? You didn't enjoy Topher Grace?
Yeah, no, I didn't like Eric Foreman Eddie Brock.
Also, quick side note, Steve. The Cleveland Browns are in overtime again for their like fourth game in a row.
They need to fusion dance.
How is this happening?
They need to bring in more power of anime.
Anyway. It's like, that's unbelievable.
And they changed the Venom character to, like, I didn't expect it to go the way it did. Because, you know, we now know that the symbiote was corrupted by Deadpool, but it wasn't even corrupted by a evil mind. It was just how the symbiote was, but it was a likable character. Huh. And yes, they don't say symbiote. I don't know if it was, they did a retake of that one shot, but all through the movie, they call it symbiotes.
It's like, so they like filmed it originally and the director's like, cut, cut, for the love of God, it's symbiote.
Symbigotes.
And someone like slipped, that was like, symbiote. Yeah, let's put that one
just
in.
Just like holding up with the like how to say it.
Yeah, and then everyone else was like, retake, symbiote.
I mean, unless they're like non-native English speakers and they don't understand the word symbiote. Oh God, now I'm doing it. Oh no, what's happening? It's spreading just like it.
It's the symbiote. But they made the Venom symbiote likable as a character. Mm. Like, he talks to Eddie in his head and just like has arguments with him. Like, back and forth schizophrenic arguments of, like, he's on the phone talking. And he's like, you need to come here immediately. It's like, fine, I'll be there. And she's like, no, you won't. It's like, yes, I will. No, you won't.
Oh, God, he's like twice.
Yeah. And again, like, the symbiote's talking to Eddie. It's like, I don't want to go back to my planet. I want to stay here. It's like, back on my planet, I'm kind of a loser. Like,
okay.
Interesting.
So
interesting. Like,
he's open to that.
Yeah, like, he came, like, he was brought to Earth with other symbiotes. I almost said symbiotes. God damn it.
God damn it.
So, like, Riot. Well,
isn't
toxin,
that part of, yeah.
Poison.
I thought so at first. Like, venom. Because they show them, and they do all have, like, different colors to them, but none of them, like, there wasn't, like, a red one, or, like, there was, like, the one I thought the villain was going to be, because, shockingly, a Marvel movie, even though it's not a Marvel cinematic movie, ends in a mirror match.
Oh, of course.
It's a symbiote versus symbiote. Which I thought the bad guy was going to be Anti-Venom. Like, that would have been a good twist of, like yeah, no, I'm Anti-Venom. Nope, he was...
Riot.
Yes.
Ah. Neat. Which, like... So I know, based on, like, the previews, we get She-Venom, too.
Yeah, very briefly.
In some way. Like... That's that character. I'm like, okay, how are they going to do She-Venom?
Interesting. Yeah, they separate Eddie from the symbiote.
Symbiote. Correct yourself, please.
Symbiote. Fuck yourself. And then his former fiance lets the symbiote kind of hitch a ride with her while they go track down Eddie, who was just kidnapped. And that's where She-Venom is. And then it transfers over, and then that's it for She-Venom. Huh. And, of course, there's the obligatory Stan Lee cameo.
Oh, okay. That's neat.
But overall, it was a fun movie. I was hoping, like, at the very end, like, the spider logo would be on his chest. Like, just as a little ha-ha-ha.
Why'd you adopt that logo? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, it would have been, like, a neat little nod. But, you know, I could see why they didn't put the logo on there. Of, we're trying to keep it separate from the current Spider-Man verse. Why, I don't know.
Because money. And eventually we'll get our Black Cat movie and our Silver Sable movie that everyone's been craving for.
They would make so much more money if they had just one mention of Spider-Man. Because Eddie Brock has been run out of New York. That's why he's in San Francisco. But even one mention of, like, yeah, that web-slinger in New York. Da, da, da.
Is that why he has, like, a weird accent?
Yeah.
That was throwing me off so much. I'm like, why is he speaking like this in San Francisco?
Yeah, he was in New York, got run out of New York, and works and lives in San Francisco now.
Ah.
But yeah, overall, it's a good movie. It's not anything stellar, nothing groundbreaking. It was fun and entertaining.
Just decent.
Yeah. If they do a sequel with Carnage, cool.
If they don't,
Yeah, no loss.
Okay.
Carnage.
At the very least, I recommend that as a DVD movie.
There you go.
Like, rent. Yeah, yeah. If you're a huge Venom fan, yeah, go see it in the
theaters. Right? Yeah.
But if,
looking at you, Joe,
if you're kind of on the fence, like Zach is, I'd recommend it as a rent.
I still haven't even seen Ant-Man, so like I hold no.
Well, we know how you feel about Ant-Man.
And again, it's neither here even as there. Someone who loved Ant-Man, Ant-Man and the Wasp was skippable. It holds no long-term repercussions that are like, oh my god, I can't believe they did that.
Oh my good.
It's okay, it's an Ant-Man and Wasp heist movie. Let's do it.
I need to watch other movies.
Not just superhero movies.
Yeah, like I want to go see
Creed sometime.
I need to go see Searching before it leaves theaters, just because of like the concept of how all of it takes place in front of a computer screen. It's the same people that made Unfriended.
Oh god. So no.
But it's like highly critically acclaimed right now.
Is it a horror movie
though? No. Okay. It's a thriller. John Cho's daughter disappears.
It's like a crime thriller.
He has to go look for her, and it's like, oh, pop up Facebook and do these messages. Oh, let's do some Google searches, and it's an entire crime
thriller. Yeah, is it just going to make you uncomfortable of how much of your information is out there?
Probably, because it's like he was able to get into his daughter's Facebook, and then he finds a picture with a guy, and he's asking friends, like, who was this guy? What's this? Like, what happened last time you saw her? And like, all the people you don't know that people know, like, especially for like parents, like, who are your children talking to online?
Do not ignite the whole, like, murderer craze again.
It's not, but it's, what do you have on your Facebook profile that you don't know that could save someone's life?
Yeah. And like, it's like
okay.
How,
okay. So it's a like, positive thing.
Kind of like, it's like Jimmy Football over here has a picture at a party with his daughter like in the back. His daughter in the background talking to some other girl, and that leads him down to finding this person and that person. It's like, you never know what could be on the internet that could help someone.
Yeah, interesting. Even John Cho was like, yeah, when I got hired on the movie, I told the director I didn't think this entire thing would work. And then he was like, I saw the final cut, and I was amazed, and I stand by this movie. And I'm like, oh, shit. I also want to watch The Sisters Brothers. That looks really good. Yeah. That's probably leaving theater soon. I think Jurassic Park's going to be in the IMAX this week at the Nature and Science Museum.
Oh, Jurassic World?
No, Jurassic Park.
Oh, like OG? Oh,
OG.
Nice.
Let's go. Oh, why'd you do that to me?
The Hate U Give, I want to watch also. That looks like a great movie.
Did you see the...
I think my next movie I need to watch is... actually watch Creed before Creed 2.
Yeah, so you gotta watch four Rocky movies.
I don't need to watch four Rocky movies.
No, you need to watch. Watch Rocky 3.
I know the Rocky lore. I know Ivan Drago.
Why is Ivan Drago so important to Creed?
Because he kills Apollo Creed's Creed's dad.
Adonis Creed's dad.
Adonis Creed. Yeah. Sorry,
God.
It's like he never watched any of the movies.
He killed Apollo Creed. God.
Yeah, it's like Black Manta. Arthur accidentally kills his father. Because Black Manta killed his father.
Yeah, but Ivan Drago was not even an accident. Yeah.
No, kills him.
When he walks into the ring, and if he dies, he dies.
And it's very much like, you look at that Creed 2 trailer, and it's just like, they're not even the same weight class. This is like Conor McGregor all over again.
God, there was some like massive shit that happened with Conor McGregor's latest fight.
Oh yeah, there were riots.
Yeah, because he won the fight, and then he like got super disrespectful towards his opponent, and everybody like lost their minds, like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah. Anyways,
we good? Yeah. My last thing.
Oh, Zach has thing.
I know, I have things.
Go, Zach.
I'm getting my time code because now people don't have to deal with spoilers. Okay. So, courtesy of the Game Over Greggy Show comic book club that Greg Miller does every month, I learned about a new comic that sounded really cool, and I gave it a shot. So this, in the latest Game Over Greggy comic book show, he has, what is his name, James Syne? I'm going to get the name of him so I don't say the wrong person. It is James Syme, or Syme, who owns Isotope Comics in San Francisco. And when Greg asked him, like, what's the favorite thing you've read recently? He brought up this imprint of comics that I have never heard of called Vault. Like, as a jet flies overhead. And what he was saying is, when he was seeing all these comics, he's like, how the fuck does Image not own these? And apparently, they're all like Kickstarter projects that Vault goes and picks up to continue them after they've been funded. Which is really interesting. I'm like, huh. Right. I've never heard of like any of these books that that they've been picking up. So the one that he recommended that at least like got my attention was like, he's like, oh yeah, and then there's this book called Heathen, which if you like Monstrous, you'll love this book. And I'm like, okay, I really like Monstrous. I'm gonna go pick up the first issue of this. So I did, and here is the basic premise of what Heathen is about. As I clear my throat. So Idis is a Viking, a warrior, an outcast, and a self-proclaimed heathen. Idis is friend to the Talking Horse Saga, rescuer of the immortal Valkyrie Brunhilde, and battler of demons and fantastic monsters. Idis is a woman, born into a time of warfare, suffering, and subjugation of women. She is on a mission to end the oppressive reign of the god King Odin. So I'm like, all right, this sounds fucking cool. And the first issue, I was like, all right, this is a pretty cool premise here. We got some Norse mythology going on, which has been really popular as of late. And so the series is by, where's the freaking details? So it's by, it's written and drawn by Natasha Al, I'm going to butcher this name, aren't I? Altair. I think that's how you say it.
Even a lot.
And then covers are by Tamarin Bornvillain and Tess Fowler. So you've probably actually seen some of her work around. Apparently she did one of the stories in Gotham Academy, the yearbook issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, that's pretty neat. But so far I really like I'm digging the premise of the book. They're setting up the world pretty well. Like, all right, here's why Idis was outcast and why she's decided to go on this magical quest. And she's just, it's done a really good job of like setting out all the rules for like why Brunhilde has been trapped in the world of mortals, which is based around like an old legend that Odin cast her out and like beset a curse upon her. And then Freya gets involved, which is, she's like become queen of the Valkyries, like most Norse mythology, usually turns out to be. And I've only read 3 issues. I was trying to finish the first volume before we got to this, but just didn't get around to it. So I'll probably end up trying to finish that later today. But yeah, I'm digging it so far. Like, yeah, it's definitely got that monstrous vibe. Just like kind of like this magical, like, it's like a blend of fantasy and real world ideologies. And it's a really cool premise. And especially if you like Norse mythology, like, I mean, yeah, it's been kind of overdone recently with like God of War being super popular. You have Neil Gaiman doing a Norse mythology book. American Gods is pretty heavy with Norse mythology. What else? Can you think of anything else that's pretty heavy in Norse mythology lately?
God of War.
I already said that.
The Wicked and the Divine.
Yeah, Wicked and Divine's pretty heavy on that.
Did you say God of War?
Yeah, I said God of War.
Sounded like you said something else, like
Rick Riordan's Asgard series about
Thor,
Annabeth's cousin Chase.
I mean, Thor is one of the biggest movies.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's a cool take on it, just because it's like this character, like essentially she's like, she's literally just told, like, hey, you were essentially dead to everyone else you know. Like, now go find something else to do with your life. It's like, all right, I've heard about this legend of Brunhilde just sitting on top of the mountain waiting for someone worthy. So, fuck it. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm excited for you. Yeah. I wish I had time to read. I'm, like, in crunch mode of my teaching life currently, and I just want to destroy everything.
Yeah,
just light myself on fire a little bit.
Please don't.
Right here, right now. I actually brought this gas can for a reason, guys. It's not just for sniffing.
No, put the lighter down.
All right, man. I'm glad you're enjoying stuff. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm cool that it's cool that I found a new book. So, thank you, James Syme, for giving that recommendation out.
Yeah, I recently just picked up a Blackbird from Image. I haven't had a chance to read it, but it's Sam Humphries and Jen Bartel, so I'm super jazzed. That's going to be a really pretty looking book.
Yeah.
I just need to read it. I don't know how to read, though, so it's rough.
Yeah, The Art and Heathen's pretty simple, but it's very like monocolored for a lot of it, but I mean, it works well for what they're going for.
So he's watching the trailer of that show I was talking about earlier. Which about one? The girl getting ready for school and then hit by a bus immediately.
Oh my god.
Zombieland Saga.
She's so happy. Bus.
What a great day. Oh, from the makers of Yuri on Ice.
What the
Mr. fuck? Mr. Osamatsu-san.
She literally gets hit by a bus in the first minute.
A juicy 100% original anime arrives.
Sorry. Oh, man. We still need to watch Raising Project.
Are all the last episodes out?
No.
I feel like we should wait till the last episode's out.
That's what I was thinking.
Just
last episode comes out next week.
Because you don't want to be left with a cliffhanger.
I would love for a cliffhanger.
Why?
Because I already watched the show.
Oh, God.
Remember, I've seen it.
Yeah. I say we wait one more week.
I'm starting to read the sequel series, too. So
we should just wait at this point.
Yeah. Everything that I love is only one season, I've learned. And then I have to go hunt off on my own. Chapter 80 of New Game, Alba is getting in trouble because she's not doing her full potential. It's really sad.
Oh, sweet Alba.
Yeah. Conflict arises. She's late to work one day. Alrighty. Thank you guys for listening to a brand new episode of Z2. Do you guys have anything else?
Nope. That was it.
Okay.
That was my thing.
Cole Sprouse is currently doing an AMA on Reddit about season 3 of Riverdale, and he said this is going to be a cult drama. This season. In the vein of True Detective. I'm like, all right, CW version of True Detective.
Sabrina. How is Sabrina not going to tie into this? This is the perfect connection.
The farm, Zach.
Exactly. Sabrina already has a cult in it. Just bring the two together.
Yeah, so it'll be great. And apparently at New York Comic Con, they announced who's Mama Jones and Jelly Bean. So it'll be great. Thank you guys for listening to your brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast. As always, you can reach us via Twitter, Facebook, and
Z2Podcast.com/comment.
Use it.
Please.
Abuse it.
Send us things. Him is
choose
like,
it.
Disappeared from the ether. I think he got trapped again.
Dormammu, I've come to make a bargain. What movie was I watching recently? It actually has like young Benedict Cumberbatch and Tom Hardy in it sitting next to each other. I'm really? Just like, oh my god. Babies. So thank you guys for listening, and as always, you can make us three happy boys by coming out and leaving us a review on iTunes, Google Play, Google Services, or anywhere
Spotify.
Else.
Spotify. I don't think you can leave reviews on Spotify, but you can follow us there.
And then you can play our podcast on a loop, and we can earn literal pennies for your time. I don't know. Are we monetized?
I don't think so. I don't think you can.
We're not monetized, but you can help us in the algorithm and maybe someone will like us enough.
Yeah.
In addition to that, you should tell a friend to listen to us and then they should tell another friend and then we can start a pyramid scheme and then we'll send vacations around the world.
Yes, because that's what those turn out to be, right?
Oh, wait, sorry, Tupperware parties.
Yeah, yes.
That's more our level of chaos. We also play Mario Party.
Yeah, I was going to say, our level of chaos is Mario Party.
You know, I was going to bully Zach and just take away his star because he was going to lose anyways.
But I worked so hard for those stars.
I felt bad for you.
I didn't take anything.
You took my star. I wanted it back. See, he's looking at me.
He wants to kill
me. All right, we're going to end the podcast here. Love you, Internet.
Zach might be dead after this.
He might be a murder, Sam.